All right. If you could, why don't you be turning your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we are rounding out the series, The Divisive Nature of Sin. But today we're going to talk about battling the normalcy of the world. Several weeks ago, we talked about how sin separates man from man and it separates man from God. Last week, we talked about, or a couple of weeks ago also, we discussed what the scope of the divisive nature of sin is. And again, today we're going to talk about battling the normalcy of the world. As the people of God, we are not here to be the most popular church with a litany of who's who among the top 1%, or popular athletes, or governing officials, artists, and the like. Now, if they come, amen. But that's not why we're here. We're not here to be the biggest church or even the fastest growing church. Ask yourself, do you want to be a church growing in numbers of people or a church of growing people? I think God actually wants both, but only one can come first if we are to really show the light of Christ, and that's to be a church of growing people. So once you have a church of growing people, the church is going to grow in number. But we are here to go and make disciples of all nations, starting where we are, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded, Matthew 28. And we're also here to reflect the light of Christ. A light that should be so brilliant that anyone who is not in the fellowship sees it and knows that this is where they should be. Let's read in verse 17. It says, for the light and momentary... Wait a minute, did I tell you 2 Corinthians? I may have told you the wrong place. Let's say, yeah, that's a good scripture. I did this last week. I got away with it because I just ignored it. Let's see. Well, guess what? We're going to pass on that one. But here's the deal. It's reflecting the light of Christ. That's why we're here. Now think about it. The world is actually in darkness. Satan rules down here. And all of us are looking for light somewhere. We're looking for something positive. We're looking for something to follow, right? So if you have a collection of people or one person that shines the light of Christ, it gives hope. It gives vision. It helps people to not only be sustained, but it gives them a direction. That's what a city on a hill is supposed to be. Everyone else is down in the valley, but that city on a hill is to make people look up, their eyes to look up. That is where we should go. That is why we're here. And as God's people, wherever they are and whomever they may be, we must be prepared to stand alone in the face of what's popular or what's accepted. John 12. John 12, we're going to start in verse 37. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they love praise from men more than praise from God. They love praise from men more than praise from God. And if you're honest, you can understand how people can get there. But this is our challenge. So as we all are trying to reflect the glory of God, my question, or one of them, is what are you prepared to lose? What are you prepared to give up? Are you really prepared not to be liked? Because you stand up for Jesus. And I'm not talking about self-righteously, but because you stand up for the word of truth. What are you prepared to lose? We see here, they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. Hey, after all, this is the place where the popular people go. If you're anybody, you're going to be part of the synagogue. Right. Well, if I stand up for this man called Jesus, I'm going to get kicked out. And so I'm no longer going to be a part of the in crowd. What are you prepared to lose to seek after God? Paul told Timothy to watch his life and his doctrine closely. And he said, Timothy, not only do I want you to watch it closely, both of them, I want you to persevere in them. Because the temptation is there to back away from the word of God, to back away from what is righteous. And we're called to uphold it. And we know the world, so let's say the United States, the nation that you and I live in, it is called a Christian nation. But let's be honest. Our nation has a form of godliness but denies its power. That is the nation we live in. And only the men and women who have decided to give themselves fully to the Lord will be able to reflect that glory and to show people how to overcome the ills of the world. Only those can battle the normalcy of the world and win. Now, people are laboring passionately to redefine the Word of God. And someone has said that I'd rather be hated for speaking God's truth than hailed for trying to redefine it. Amen. We can't redefine God's truth. But the world is laboring in passionate fashion to redefine it. Now, as we defend God's word, as we defend his truth, we are reminded of some things, though. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's important to get this lead up as Peter is talking to the churches here, and he says, finally, all of you, verse 8, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Let's pick up on the things that he's saying. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Is that a lesson even right there? Right. Don't pay insult with an insult. But isn't that what the world does? Because of this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We've read this passage many times. And you will see me giving you passages that you've read before. The call is to put them into practice. The simplest scripture, once put into practice, becomes so powerful. But he goes on. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Now, what I didn't read there is that when someone thinks different than you do about Jesus, that you tell them that they are condemned and going to hell. That's not what we read. It says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Because the hope that you have, I mean, it should be a big hope. Right? I mean, the hope, man, we're trying to get to heaven. Right? With all this mess down here, my father would always say, it ain't easy down here. Our hope is to get to heaven and to be able to see God and Jesus as they really are. That is our hope. But it says we do it when we give the reason for our hope. We do it with gentleness and respect. So that when they bring a charge against you, they'll be ashamed because of your good behavior. That an accusation can't be brought against you. That is how we defend the gospel. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And see, many people in the world and many of us have felt condemned when we walk into a church building. When we hear a message, we feel condemned. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying we just accept everything. That's not what I'm saying. The Bible does call us to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Now, not the kind of love that most of us generally have. I'm talking about the love that when Jesus was at the Last Supper, he said, a new command I give you. Love one another. Well, that's not new. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay, now that's new. That's how we're supposed to love people. But here in 2 Timothy, we're going to start in chapter, oh man. Excuse me here. We're going to start in chapter 2, verse 14. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. Can we quarrel about words? I mean, we can get stuck on a word. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, Timothy, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. He says, correctly handle the word of truth. If we're going to correctly handle the word of truth, we've got to know it. We've got to be studying it out. We've got to apply it to our lives, right? We've got to submit to it. That's how we really know it. And always remembering that without Jesus, we are nothing. Without him, we are nothing. You know, at one point in time, I'll back up, that I can say this with certainty, that from the reports that I've received about things that are put out on social media, even among God's people, so-called Christians, that many are not really ready to love like this, like the passages we just read. Because of the things that we allow, some of the things that we actually put out on social media. Many people still do not take it seriously. That what that says about you. And what that says about your God. If we're going to be the light of Christ, we have to rise above it all, not some of it. See, the Spirit is constantly working to remind us, constantly reminding us. Even as we sleep, God is working so that his people can truly be the light of Christ. And when we forget, our light dims. And I know you don't want your light to be dim. I don't like going into dark rooms. We have meetings here, and when we leave, especially in the winter and the fall when it gets dark early, CT wants to cut off all the lights right when we're walking down the stairs. And I'm like, dude, it's not funny. I keep all the lights on. Is there a light down there? Okay, good. We'll cut it off at the bottom. Call me what you will. I just don't like it. Too many things down dark corridors. We hate darkness. Give me the light. Our words matter. The things we say and the things we think matter. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Battling the normalcy of the world. Now, as we read here, I want you to pay close attention to all the things that are laid out here in this passage. Starting in verse 18 of chapter 1 in Romans, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth of their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and the divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, as we read, there's this kind of past tense being spoken. But this is reality today. It may not be an image that's carved out, at least in our nation, but that does still exist. But this is today. He goes on in verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to do to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the truth, rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. Are you worn out yet? And then you, some of you may think, and you want me to go and have brunch after reading that. I mean, it's intense. It's an intense list. I mean, it's like there's parts of it you're like, hey, maybe don't read that one right now. And notice, it does not make homosexuality any higher or lower than the rest of them. But there's an attempt right now, though, to force people to believe that a homosexual lifestyle is good, that it's right, that God accepts it. You might as well say that God, with God being a gossip, it's accepted. We readily admit that, no, gossip is a sin. But in our world today, even among some clergymen, the media, all types of other people, hey, you need to accept this. This is right. And if you disagree on any of it, you're now a homophobe. But one of the big problems is because we don't do it with gentleness and respect. It's not my goal or role to condemn anyone. Why? Because I deserve to go to hell myself. So this whole notion, and we've heard this before, about hate the sin, love the sinner, is ridiculous. Although I used to say it. But growing now in my maturity, as someone has said several months ago, I'm like, wow, actually, that's right. Hate my own sin and focus on loving people. When I hate the sin, love the sinner, now you know what position I put myself in? One of pride. But when I hate my own sin, now I'm humble. Because I realize that without Jesus, I'm done. Now we can be welcoming to whoever walks in these doors. And it's a deep thing. I mean, you know, the arguments and the discussions that are happening around the LGBTQ community. It's intense. We don't talk a lot, though, about those who are greedy, those who are slanderers. We don't talk a lot about that, and it's even more accepted. But it is rampant, and it destroys nations. God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. This is what's happening in the world. And this is what we're battling. So why do I say all this? And it's like, okay, Rodney, you know, divisive nature of sin. You know, when are you going to stop talking about it? Somebody else tells me how much of a sinner I am, you know, I'm walking out of church. You have a choice. We're battling Satan. And I don't want us to walk around being another church. I don't know how many churches there are right now just in this area. I'm not interested in being another church. God is not interested in another church. God is interested in men and women who are growing in His truth, that can purely, open-heartedly, with great love and humility, really get the word of truth out, share the gospel with words and with their life, and really be loving to all men, as hard as it may be sometimes. That's the church that we're striving to be. But if you really want to be that kind of church, that means you're going to get talked about. Are you ready for that? We've got to call sin, sin, and ourselves as well. But we need to be experts at expressing the love of God. We have to become experts in how to lavish love and patience with one another, because we need it. We need it. All of us need it. And as we close, turn to Romans chapter 12. Actually want to add a little something here. You know, some of the things that are accepted in normal is that you just look at the programming that's on our televisions, movies, etc. We've not just pushed the envelope, but we have jumped into the abyss. And this is generational here. It's like compound interest. It's like, how bad can we get? What's a little bit more accepted? Oh, we can accept that now. And we're like, what in the world are you showing? What? That's where we are. Where are we? It's actually accepted now in business and government to just a little bit of deception and lies to get where I want to get to. We start saying things like, if somebody's being accused, they say, you can't prove it. But are you guilty? You can't prove it. But did you do wrong? Now it's like all these different phrases and the smoke and mirrors are being said, instead of someone just saying, I did it. I'm wrong, and I'll take full responsibility. No, we've got all this kind of, no, look over here. There's nothing over here. Look right over here. See this right over here? Look at all the other good things I've done. Yeah, look at that. That's the world we live in. It's accepted. We can't accept it here with one another. Speak the truth. The truth. But man, if I speak the truth, I'm going to look horrible. Well, look horrible. Guess what? The person you're talking to, they're horrible too. And they need to remember it. This stuff that we read early in 2 Timothy, that's what some of us were. We want to win the battle against the normalcy of the world. All you got to do is read Romans 12. There's tons of other passages. But let's read here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, if you read Romans 9, 10, and 11, by the time you get here to chapter 12, it makes sense, the word therefore. He's talking about all this mercy and all what God has done. And he's saying, because of that, offer your lives, as your bodies, as living sacrifices. In other words, God, I thank you for your mercy. Here am I. Use me how you will. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, we can stop there. He says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That means stop doing some stuff that the world does, right? That's what he's saying to him. So let's just say we all put pen to paper and wrote down, how are we conforming to the pattern of the world? And once you've looked at it, you put that scripture there. And once you looked at it, you put down in big letters, S-T-O-P. Stop. Repent. That's what he's telling them. But then, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your mind be renewed. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. We could stop there too. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. He says, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In other words, who are you really? Not, well, I'm a good person. Who are you really? Sober judgment, in your right mind, honest. In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Do you believe that? That each member of God's body belongs to one another. We are not our own. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is contributing, or did that. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Use your gift. Each of us has gifts. Use your gift. Don't let it lay dormant, but use it. When each of us start saying and actually living out using our gift, this church, you talk about a light. It'll be explosive. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. We want to win the battle against normalcy in the world. We just need to put this into practice. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devoted. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Not desperate. But when we're afflicted, he says, be patient, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Practice it. Well, I'm not good at it. Well, that's why the word says practice. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do you see the humility that must come here? Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is hungry, not your friends. Now, if your friends are hungry, feed them, okay? Right? But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Your enemy. In doing this, you will keep burning coals on his head. Now, it's not like, I'm serving you. Ha ha. That's not what he's talking about. But as you're serving him, he or she will know, I do not deserve this. Why are they doing this? Overcome them with the light of Christ. On the contrary, he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In this battle that we have, we can overcome. And I call all of God's men, all of his women who are here, who can hear this, to make a decision to truly be the light of Christ and let him work through you powerfully. Amen.